The British territory overseas called the Pitcairn Islands might only appear on a map as a tiny speck in the southern reaches of the Pacific Ocean, but the 50 people living there who call these rocky outcrops their home are currently trying to create what's going to become the world's largest marine reserve. Representatives Simon Yang and Melva Evans visited Cambridge recently to put their case to the British government, and Kate Lamble went to see them.
Our forefathers were men of the sea, and our foremothers were the intrepid women of French Polynesia. And it's incredibly important to us that we have a good environment, that we have clean, disease-free fish to eat, but we've also got fabulous coral formations. And so we're here because we are both passionate about getting this marine reserve established, and we'd like to convince the British government to give their thumbs up to our proposal.
I had to look Pitcairn up on a map, I have to be honest. Then you zoom out and you're sort of trying to work out where it is in the world. You zoom out and there's just blue, and zoom out a bit more, there's just blue, and zoom out a bit more, there's still just blue. It's literally in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. So you can imagine by looking at a map like that how important the sea must be. How's it involved in your day-to-day lives?
When you're on Pitcairn, you're right, it's just a little dot in the middle of the ocean. It's only 1 mile by two. We are, we're absolutely defined by the ocean. And we live off the land and the sea.
The sea is the only way we have in and out of Pitcairn. We don't have an airport. Our closest neighbors are 300 miles away in French Polynesia. And to get there, we have to travel by ship for 2 nights and 1 day, and then take a ferry across the lagoon in Mangareva to the airport there. Then it's 5.5 hours to Tahiti, another 8.5 hours to Los Angeles, another 10.5 hours to London. Not only do we travel that way, but all our supplies, what we can't grow on Pitcairn, comes in via the ship from New Zealand.
Being an island that's, as you just said, defined by the ocean, why is preserving it become important now? Are you viewing the sea as it being under threat and that's why you want the marine reserve, or is it a precautionary measure?
People who have lived on Pitcairn Island for the last 220 years have always treated the ocean with the greatest respect. So I think it's precautionary to ensure that it's there for not only the future generations of Pitcairners, but also on a global scale.
The National Geographic Expedition of 2012 has shown that we have pristine reefs in our areas. We would like to protect that now. We don't want to wait until we get to a point where we have to search for funding, to do restoration or remediation. It just makes sense to protect it.
Let's say you got the marine reserve. What would it mean to the people of Pitcairn? What difference to the community would it literally make on the ground?
It would mean that we wouldn't have to entertain the idea of having to deal with fishing vessels. We wouldn't have to consider those applications anymore because we are intending on establishing the entire EEZ, more or less. EEZ is the exclusive economic zone that exists around all nations which have got ocean around them. And so this extends normally for 200 miles unless you hit somebody else's EEZ. And Pitcairn has three other islands in the group, also separated by hundreds of miles. So this is why together Pitcairn Island has an enormous EEZ, relatively speaking, for 50 people who live there, of over 800,000 square kilometres. So it's very large.
Yeah, my name's Elizabeth Whitebread. I work with the Pew Charitable Trust's Global Ocean Legacy Programme. Pew is an American NGO, but in our London office, one of the projects we work on is setting up marine reserves around some of Britain's overseas territories.
And why Pitcairn? What's so special about the waters around Pitcairn that we couldn't find anywhere else?
One, Pitcairn genuinely is incredibly special when you look at the rest of the world's oceans. So we conducted a joint expedition with the National Geographic Society last year, and they had with them, scientists who have dived all over the world, some of them 5,000-6,000 dives under their belts, and they came up out of the water literally like laughing, smiling, so excited by what they'd seen. Because Ducie, which is one of the islands in Pitcairn, it's the most southerly coral atoll in the world. And in places it has 100% coral cover, it has one of the highest percentages biomass of top predators of anywhere in the Pacific. It is as near to pristine as you can get. We're so used to seeing oceans that are overexploited that the Pitcairn Islands are really exceptional. The other reason is that we can, and this is something that we really believe in at Global Ocean Legacy, that we need to protect what we can now. And on Pitcairn Island, we have a really unusual situation where we have unanimous support of an entire community to create what would be the world's largest strictly protected marine reserve. We have an opportunity here for the British government to do something really good.
For you guys who live on the island, when the divers came back and said, we've been doing this for so long, we've never seen anything like this, did you guys know what was down there? Had you been diving?
No, we'd not done much diving at all. We'd always thought we had something special. I mean, there are areas down there that you could go fishing and you'd be guaranteed a catch. So there must have been something special down there. We had no idea that this reef that they discovered, which was it 30 meters down, which is twice the usual depth of a reef. And then we saw the film footage and we're just blown away. I'm sorry. It was just, it was incredible. We knew that we had to do something to protect it.
We talked earlier about this being the largest marine reserve anywhere in the world. How is this zone, which is so large and so remote, enforceable?
Clearly, you can never have perfect enforcement, you know, just because we have laws against robbery and people still steal things. But there are emerging technologies that are making this a much more cost-effective problem to solve. So we're investigating solutions connected to satellite technology and even things that seem relatively low-tech, like just making sure that you have an adequate legal infrastructure in place is very important. So Pitcairn has actually a great opportunity to be a test case for a lot of these things, because if you can enforce in Pitcairn, you can do it anywhere.
Elizabeth Whitebread, and before her, Pitcairn Islanders Simon Yang and Melva Evans. If you'd like to get in touch with us here at The Naked Scientists, Chris Smith and Helen Scales, and to have a go at our quiz, if you had a red light and a blue light, they're equivalently bright, on the seabed, shining towards the top, which one looks brightest at the surface, can you tell us? Or if you have any comments or questions about our show this week, you can tweet at Naked Scientists, or you can email chris@thenakedscientist.com.